Welcome to Got Invention Radio. I'm your host, Brian Freed, and tonight we have an inventor who has a product that has sold about 3.4 million units. He's on QVC all the time. You've seen his product on TV. You've probably seen it in the retail stores. He is Michael Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Oh, it's good to be here. This is amazing.
Thank you so much. I know you're a big fan of Got Invention Radio. Thank you, and we're happy to have you on our show.
Yeah, that's I've been wanting to get on. This is to help out other inventors, and this will be a fun night.
Great. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know before you came up with this pillow, when you were having all kinds of back problems and neck problems, you're going to tell us all about that. But you're a pretty interesting guy. Why don't you tell the inventors out there your background?
Well, my background, I started out. I've always been an entrepreneur. I started out, having everybody have a paper route, and then I had a carpet cleaning business, and then I went into and I had a lunch wagon business and then I purchased bar restaurants. And I just kept doing different things. I've always wanted to just work for myself and be an entrepreneur. And I've been doing that my whole life.
That's great. So what happened that made you come up with this pillow? And by the way, I love your pillow. I feel like it's got some meat to it. You know what I mean? It's got like the inside of it is actually it's nice to touch, and when you're laying on it, it actually feels very comfortable. Why did you come up with this pillow? And it's while we were chit chatting during the day in some of the social media activity, people were saying, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe somebody came up with a different pillow." So tell us why you came up with it, and tell us what it's about.
Well, this goes back to when I was a teenager, and when I was a kid, I remember pillows that it seemed like pillows worked then. And when I was a teenager, I would actually lay on department store floors and look around, make sure nobody was watching, and I would try different pillows. And so I think it was probably my calling way back then. I even bought one. I spent my whole paycheck in the late 1970s on a pillow. And it didn't work. And then I had throughout my life, I had different things happen to me. I'd see a chiropractor, and 3 days later, I would need to be readjusted again. And I knew it was my pillow. And it was kind of out of necessity. I'd wake up in the morning, my neck would hurt. I'd have a migraine. I might have feel like I needed a nap, even though I slept 8 hours. And then, during the night, I would just flip flop all night long. When I first started to work on this in 2004, it was a couple of years there. It took a couple of years, but I made the first pillow myself just for out of necessity for me. There was nothing out there, absolutely nothing. I had tried every pillow known to man.
It was neck pain. It was neck pain. It was back pain.
I had both.
You talked about being in the bar business. So was it from picking up all the bottles of the whiskey and the wine and all that stuff, or was it drinking it and falling off the bar stool?
Well, a little of both back then, I guess. I worked long hours back then, so we were always on our feet. You never sat down. And I had other things happen too. I had numerous accidents the chiropractor, I was probably from the accidents where I was seeing for my lower back and neck, and I just couldn't, but basically I couldn't get good sleep. And when I first came up with the pillow, when I came up with one that worked for me, the kids kept always stealing it. I realized everybody had that problem. I started asking around. Everyone's got the same problem. I asked my friends when I went, I'd go duck hunting or fishing, and I'd ask them. I said, "Yeah." I said, "You guys have these problems with sleeping with pillows?" And everybody seemed to have the same problem. And I started. It took 2 years, a little less than 2 years, I guess. I tried everything. I wanted it to be the best pillow ever made. I wanted it to have everything. If you walked down the streets of America and say, "What would you like to see in a pillow?" whatever came out of their mouth, MyPillow would have, and I was very passionate about that.
Okay, so tell us why, and tell us what you did to make that pillow, and what makes it so unique and different than anything else out there.
Well, first, I'll tell you why it's unique, and I thought the same thing too. You know, I thought, how could I make up something that hasn't been invented already? When big pillow companies, I mean, that's one of the, I think pillows are one of the most sold commodity or non-disposable commodity that doesn't work. You know, they don't work. And I, what I did is the people, I mean, my pillow, you can move it. You can move the patented fill. I got a patent on it. I got a U.S. patent on it. It's a utility patent, but you can move the patented fill wherever you want, whether you're side, back, or stomach sleeper, and it holds that position, and it keeps your neck straight for you as an individual. It also stays cool. You can wash and dry it. You can, if someone said, well, does it have value? Well, I have a 10-year warranty, and it stays good during that whole time because you can wash and dry it. And then I have a 60-day money-back guarantee because I wanted to give people value, too, or, you know, give people a guarantee on it because we all have 6 pillows per person per household in the United States alone, and they just keep piling up. It's a big pillow pile, and it's which I find you know, very interesting when I found that out from the National Sleep Foundation. But it didn't surprise me because of the shows I had done and talked to tens of thousands of people, and they, you know, everybody's the same. They all have the same problems with pillows, and they all have the same. They've tried everything, and people were fed up at the time I started. I really found a hole in the market is what I did.
Okay. All right. So this is a Got Invention Radio, and we have inventors that are at all different stages of the invention process. There are resources for inventors out there listening, and we want to hear your story, Michael. So tell us,
okay,
when you first came up with this idea that you wanted to have a better pillow, what did you do first?
Okay. The first thing I did is I kind of did it in reverse. I thought of the name first. I thought of the name MyPillow, and I had it, actually wrote it on a piece of paper all over the house and tried different ways to the logo, but that's probably not the way to do it, to name a product before you even have it developed.
No, and, you know what? You're absolute. I have to say that we share the same. I didn't know that that's what you did first. We share the same philosophy. You know why when I come up with an invention, I come up with a name. You know why? Because I want to make it real. I want to start living and breathing it. I want to see it. You know, when I wrote my book, You and Your Big Ideas, I had a sticker on my monitor for a year that said, You and Your Big Ideas. That's the name of my book. I have to see it, and I want to bring it to life. So I respect.
Wow, then maybe we're doing it the right way. You know?
So that's great. I mean, my pillow is, I mean, you make it all in one word. It's not even a space between the Y and the P, right?
Right. And when I got that registered trademark, I applied for that myself online, and I didn't think I'd get it. This was in 2005 that I actually applied, or 2006, and it's such a, you know, so generic, just might be, where's my pillow? I just thought it sounded cool to say, where's my pillow, and to have that name, and I went and, you know, applied for that name first before I had a concept of what I wanted in my head, of what I wanted the pillow to do. And but I applied for the name first and waited to get the registered trademark for, I don't know, a couple year and a half or 2 years. But
okay.
But the, once I had the I did that, and then I made one mistake there, though, is I should have got all the MyPillow.com and all the different variations. I would suggest that to anybody that names their invention to get all the variations of the .coms and buy them, because they're cheap to buy. And then if you end up having to buy them back down the road from other people that got them after you got your name, you end up paying a lot of money for them.
Well, definitely .com rules out there. It is good to have other extensions, but for the most part, you know, .coms are people definitely are very familiar with them. But sure, it's cheap enough.
And
it's
then,
cheap enough at the start.
Yep. But what I did then is I tore foam. I tried over 90, I think it was 94 different kinds of foam over a course of 5-6 months. I mean, maybe a little less. And I wanted a pillow where you could move the stuff and it would stay kind of like kind of like sleeping on a down pillow, but it wouldn't go flat. You know, that was, I really got familiar with what I was, you know, I was in with what I was going to invent. So you've seen me in Bed Bath and Beyond. So I was in all these stores checking out pillows, checking out their other, you know, the other products that I was going to go up against. And I still hadn't had mine finished. And then I finally, I finally got one that was right. And then I couldn't get it apart. You know, if you, by wherever you moved it, it wouldn't come apart. So then I was kind of back to the drawing board. I had so many setbacks. Once I got to where I had the right material to go inside it, I didn't have a machine that made those size cuts that I needed. So that's the part I had to go out and actually come up with a machine that would do that. And there was nothing already out there on the market that would do that. So,
okay. Michael, I wanted to ask you, when you were sourcing, or when you said you tried 90 different foams, an inventor mm-hmm. that comes up with an idea, and you, let's say, with your pillow and wanting to put something inside, you know, as far as foam, mm-hmm. where did you go to find 90 different types of foam to test?
You know, I kind of got lucky, but nowadays you can go online. You go online and you look up. It's hard to get through to the manufacturers. You're spot on there of different things. So I went to a fabricator that was in Minneapolis, and he kind of guided me through it. And that's, you know, getting the team. You know, I would go in there and ask him for something else and ask him for something else. But it was a lot of trial and error, but it was basically, I just went online, and I couldn't get through to the big manufacturers. Obviously I can't go, hey, I want to buy one stick of foam, you know,
right.
They don't even publish their numbers. A lot of the manufacturers.
Sure.
But,
one good resource for inventors. I'm not, and you went local. That's great. One.
Yeah. I went local because I'll tell you what, if you are an inventor, you want to go local at least in the beginning to try and, because you're going to be going back and forth if you're trying to, like I did. I had so much experimenting to do to get that first prototype made. That first prototype, that was the hardest thing to get that made. Once I did get it made, though, I didn't have many tweaks. It's almost the same pillow you see on the market right now as it was back then.
Okay.
I didn't launch it until it was 100% ready, you know, it took a while to get the machine. There was marketable improvements on the machine, and that makes the cuts that for the inside fill. But
right,
yeah, but it was a long process.
Okay, I wanted to share a couple quick resources, Michael. You said that you went local. One way, inventors, we've had one of our guests from the past, ThomasNet.com, which is the old Thomas Registry now online. What you do is you put in, like, if Michael was looking for a foam fabricator or foam factory manufacturer, you would put in foam manufacturer, whatever the material is that it's made out of, and you see if you could find somebody local, and if not, then go a little bit further out, and they have websites and phone numbers on there, and you call them up, and you see if they'd be willing to work as a contract or just work on a project to see if they can help you. Another way also, it's great to do local, but if you do have somebody that has a connection or you plan on doing a decent amount of production, whether it's in the beginning or during your invention, if you are going to be working with somebody outside of the country, there's always Skype. Me personally, I've had factories take Skype on their computers and walk around the factories and show me exactly what they were doing. You know,
absolutely.
This day and age, there's a lot of, you know, you can almost have the other part of the world right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I didn't have that luxury, but I had, it is nice to see them, even if you're seeing on Skype, just to see the things, you know, live, you know.
Sure. Well, nothing beats in person, of course. And that was your point,
right.
Keeping it local. So
that's a good point.
So now you found this factory that had the foam, and they had some machining to be able to kind of put some pieces together for you to test out. What'd you do next, Michael?
Well, I was, just so you know, I was doing all the testing myself. I would get the raw materials from them, and I did all my own testing in a garage.
Testing like sleeping, like falling asleep?
No, I would test. I knew what the pillow needed to do, and it was day after day trying different different fills, different foams, different covers, just all kinds of different things, different combinations. Mm-hmm. And then I would sleep on a couple of them, but it still didn't do the things I want to do. I wanted it to be able to adjust and hold its position. That was the biggest thing. And that once I got the machine, then we didn't have to tear it by hand anymore. And once I got the machine and we started making we got it down to what I wanted, and or at least real close. And we started making them, just myself and a couple of my kids. And we put our life savings into it. I think we made 300 pillows. And we walked into a department store and said, actually with Bed Bath & Beyond, I said, I have the best pillow in the world. How many would you like? And the guy says, we have a national buyer. You're not going to be able to see them. So I was kind of shut out there, and there were a lot of shutouts, and I didn't know how to get it to market.
Well, how did you get that initial test when you're saying you went to Bed Bath? A lot of inventors have a product that maybe they made a few hundred units of, and they want to go to to a big store, let's say chain like that. Did you go to their headquarters, which wasn't too far away from where you move now?
No, but I didn't. I did not, but I didn't go to there. And
you went into
a
store?
I just went to a local store, but obviously it was a shutout. You can't, they have one national buyer,
right.
And I was, he basically laughed at me and said, are you kidding? You don't even have a brand, or you have nothing, to get in here.
Okay. So,
and then I was turned down by, I didn't know how to bring it to market. And what I did then is I got a kiosk shopping center, a kiosk, and I sold only 80 of them and mortgaged the house. And
Over what period of time? And when you're saying a shopping center?
Over a two-month period before Christmas in 2005.
Okay.
And
was it in a mall?
What's that?
Was it in a mall when you're saying shopping center?
Yeah, it was in a mall, a shopping mall, yep.
Okay.
It was a shopping mall. And I was doing my own. I mean, I had made them all by hand. I sold them myself and did everything myself to get them ready. And then we worked the long hours over the November and December of 2005. And we only sold 80 I had mortgaged my house to my Christmas presents. So but I was still so determined to make this work. And when I sold that first pillow, it was just a feeling that was beyond belief. Wow, they do sell,
Yes.
And it was such a good feeling, but it was still, kind of disturbing that we didn't sell as many as I thought we would, and now we're $10,000 in the hole. Well, then about 2 months after that, a guy called me and said, "Is this the guy that invented that pillow?" And I said, right here in Minnesota, I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I have the Minneapolis Home and Garden Show. Would you like to get a booth in that show?" And I said, "Well, I really can't afford it." And I think he gave me a deal, and we ended up selling out at that show.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And what I found out, those shows, then they're all over the country. To this day now, I have like 70 shows going on a weekend. And then I got in the Minnesota State Fair, and I did a lot of shows then for 3-4 years, because at least I had a market for it where I knew where it would sell. And then I would get people's feedback on it all the time. So I was getting really good, not only making sales, but hearing back from the people that I had sold them to. And it was really rewarding, because it was working. And not only that, it was helping people.
Michael, I'm almost thinking, and this was something that you mentioned earlier, when you sold the 80 pillows at the mall, did you actually keep track of those people and find out, you sell it to them and say, "Listen, I'd love to hear from you in a week from now to hear what you have to say." That could have been interesting. That could have,
yep,
and those
no,
people yep, could
no,
have been...
I didn't. And you know what? I didn't even, I actually made my signs out of a stencil I got at Target. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue what, I came from owning service businesses, and I jumped into making a product, and I made so many mistakes that, I didn't even keep any database for probably 4 or 5 years, but I had so many testimonials from people. giving me their testimonials on the website and in person, and,
well, that's
and writing
great.
Them down and mailing me. But yeah, that would have been great to get that feedback.
Well, so these people came to you and let you know that they loved your pillow, and it kept evolving. So when you went to the home show, and then you started to do some local shows, you started to realize that there was some more traction going on. And you told me, and you told us, that there was a point where you mortgaged the house, you had nothing. So you had you sold the 80, so now you had 220 pillows left, because you said you made 300
right.
of them.
So yep.
did you
yep.
take the 80 and the 220 that you sold, the money from those, and make more? Or what'd you do after?
Yep, that's it. Yeah, I just had to keep I ended up having to sell a little bit of the company, or a little bit of the name, to some friends of mine. And actually, it was funny because these two guys actually came to one of the shows that were and offered to buy. They offered to buy all part of the company, or they wanted like, I don't know, 50% of the company to do an infomercial. This was really early on, and I wouldn't give in to that. I had quite a few. You know, it was, even though we turned the 220, you know, the 300 pillows, we had them priced wrong, and we didn't have our, you know, my vendors were not priced right. So I was paying a premium for my fabric, my foam, everything. That's the problem. It's one of the problems when a vendor gets started, is if you do your own manufacturing like I did, you know, I can't get the quantity discounts. I can't get, you know, everybody's charging you a lot because they think you're a risk, you know,
right.
and that hurts right in the beginning. But it was, I just kept borrowing, you know, I'd borrow some more money and from friends, and just kept doing shows. And I did turn those pillows. And the next time I kept getting bigger and bigger fabric runs. So I'd get like, you know, maybe 5,000 yards. I think the next time we made 2,000 pillows, you know.
Did you ever think you'd be sewing pillows?
No, not when I was in the bar business.
Well, you were no. determined to have that pillow that you wanted, my pillow. So
right.
now you got it. So right. you were you were sewing them up, and you were selling them well, and you started to take on partners. You know, a lot of people skip over getting a little deeper into that. You mentioned that there was some people that approached you, and that's what happens when you start to put it out there, and either people use it and they feel good about it, or they see people buying it. They start to mm-hmm. make you offers, and things start to get very tempting. But you held on, and then
right.
you said, you know what, I'm just going to go to my friends and family to start with. If you don't mind, mm-hmm. you don't have to reveal who your friends and family are on the show, but maybe mm-hmm. you can give us a general idea of, when you are going to ask somebody to put some money into your idea, what you would propose to them, or what they would propose to you.
I gave them, I would usually... I got so desperate at one point, I would give them stock plus pay their loan back. So, you know, that's how, you know, it just depended on the individual or what I needed, or I'd do a short-term loan, and I would use part of the company for collateral. You know, I'd say, you know what, I'll give you 10% of my company if you borrow me $10,000 to buy this fabric, and I'll give you $2,000, you know, because I couldn't use a bank. That was the problem. I didn't have the credit. The bank didn't believe in anything, you know, there was nothing to collateralize
right.
other than, you know, my belief in the product.
And everything you were doing was direct to consumer. You weren't selling to any retail stores at this point. So, you know,
no,
when you're working
right.
with factories, sometimes you can show them that you have purchase orders from some retailers, and they could amortize the price of, you know, different things, material and so mm-hmm. forth, into the cost, or maybe they could give you, float it for a little bit longer. Or what you could do is you could go to different companies that'll give you money. It's called factoring. They'll give you money up front for your purchase order, so you can do what you need to do. I mean, there's all different ways
right,
to go about
right.
doing it. It's very.
Yeah, I went to a couple. I did a couple factoring against my sales that they you can get. That can get quite expensive, and yeah. it also. But I guess sometimes it's better than giving up part of your company too.
Right.
Know?
So, so now you were at the point where you had some money, you continued to build it. When was like the, you know, this was again, still all direct to consumer. When was the
right.
point where you really, where was your breakthrough, Michael? Where was the time where you said,
my break,
I did it?
Yeah. Well, my breakthrough, I went through a lot of ups and downs, but I didn't have money. The money just kept it. It was living show to show. Each weekend I did a show, and I had one other guy in the company. He was doing a show route, kind of testing the different shows around the country, and I did a local TV show. It was on our public access station in Minneapolis, and they did a little human interest story. It was a half hour show, and just on this guy that invented a pillow, and how weird is that that in this day and age you could get a patent on a pillow, and it was kind of a good story. It was just an interview, and we seen quite a bit of spike in sales. I did, and it was I'm going, wow, this, if you bring the word of mouth to the consumer, even if it's just telling it, being real on TV. And so then at that point I had a vision of, I wanted to have an infomercial someday. And in January of 2011, in early January, they did an article, the Minneapolis Tribune, in the business section. It was another human interest story, and that exploded us for it got us. That was the first big spike upwards.
So this was PR, public relations, and yep, media and news,
right,
stories, and,
yep,
and getting on TV.
Right.
Now, did you,
right,
approach these people, or did you have somebody in your company do it, or did they approach you?
No, they there was the one lady approached me from Channel 6, and I guess we did have a company we worked with, and she approached the Minneapolis Star and Tribune. So,
okay.
So I guess it was one was, they both, but both of them, or the both of them happened that year. One earlier in the year, one later, or yeah, one in 2010, one in 2011. But what I did then is that ad that PR thing that came out in the paper. I thought, well, what if you made a newspaper ad that looked like that, that it was a human interest story. So I put together an ad, and it was from the heart. It just told my story, and it didn't even show a price of the pillow. And it showed the problems I had and why I invented the pillow. And then it showed I solved the problem, and then I gave, I gave him my guarantee. And it exploded. The company just kept increasing. I was in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, papers all over the country, the USA Today, and then that was in the spring of 2011.
That's
and
awesome,
through the
Mike.
Summer, but in the spring I decided to do an infomercial.
Mm-hmm.
And years earlier, a couple of guys had approached me. Like I said, they wanted most of my company to be able to do one, and I wouldn't do it. Now I just had my friends and my people that worked for me. We all put our money together, and we decided we were going to do this infomercial. And we got it done by October. I think it launched October 7th of 2011. And by January 9th of 2012, it was the number one infomercial in the United States.
That's a fantastic story. There's so many inventors going, I can't believe it. This guy invented a pillow,
right.
And look at where he is today. I'm really impressed by your story, Michael. It's great. And I'm just going to pick a little bit more in between, because these are the things that inventors get stuck on. And we hear that people do it, but on this show, we like to find out a little bit more deeper. So for example, I know typically that, so you had this story. When was the point of hiring a PR company? Because it sounded like you were struggling all along, but you also wanted to get your name out there. When
right.
did you hire a PR company?
I just hired my first PR company about a month ago. Back then, the two ads, the one was just the lady had the pillow, and was our public access, and the other company, it was a favor. She said she could get, we were working with them on website, and she said she could get us in the local paper. She just had a connection. So that was, I can't say enough about trying to get in the, a newspaper or on TV just to get it out there.
Right. And to use it as leverage. But, there's a lot of times where an inventor will get featured in a newspaper, and then it just it fades away. So you have to keep the momentum up, whether it's the newspaper and doing some, you know, getting some more activity in newspapers, TV, doing social media, just keeping that leverage going. My next question, Michael, is when you decided to put that ad from the heart into the paper, how did you go about figuring out which paper was the right one to advertise in?
What I did is they're remnant ads, and what they are, you don't pay full price for them, and if you don't care when the ad drops, you get them for a cheaper rate. And I worked with a company called MediaSpace, and they were amazing for and they basically, we tried a few papers, and if it cost you, let's say if it cost $500, I wanted to get a return on my investment. I didn't have any money to do any branding, so I wanted to get, you know, I wanted to get a good return on my investment, at least get my money back plus a little profit. And it turned out, we were doing that in every paper. It didn't matter which one. So I couldn't buy enough papers. You know, I had found a need, you know, whatever invention people have out there, you know, a lot of them just have a target audience, but my target audience is everybody in the world because it was a pillow. So it really didn't matter which paper it ran in. I was very fortunate, very blessed to have a product where it didn't matter what, you know, when it dropped, it didn't matter when, you know, but I suppose with target audiences of, you know, let's say your golfers or whatever, or your ice fishermen, you'd want to be in, you know, in Minnesota.
Right. Well, we always talk on the show about the window of opportunity. You know, it's not like a fishing product or a golf product. If you're involved in, if you love golf, then you think, and you're playing golf and you're at the course and involved in the whole experience, you think everybody's involved in golf and everybody plays it and it's the biggest thing in the world. All right. But then when you start to evaluate and say, okay, this is the United States, how many people play golf? You start to really bring it down to a point where, okay, and then how many other products are similar to something like that? And then your window of opportunity is diminished. Whereas a pillow or a kitchen gadget, let's say, everybody has a kitchen. Everybody goes to sleep, I hope so, or they think they do. So everybody has a bed where they're sleeping, and there's the pillow. So you came up with a product that's mass appeal. So no matter what magazine or newspaper that you're in, it appealed to everybody.
Right. They were pretty much all the same. And then when the infomercial came out, I wanted to do the infomercial from the heart too. So that was a real audience. I didn't know who was going to call on, and it was not scripted. We did not have a teleprompter, and we just did it. And when that came out, that drove the sales. Also, the more, it was just awareness. And then when we got into the retail, when we hooked up with the distributor with As Seen on TV, then we got out to the all the brick and mortar stores, and finally, in fact, I talked to a guy from Bed Bath and Beyond, and I told him the story of when I walked in his store, you know, 9 years ago, and they said, they laughed at me about my product, but I still didn't give up. And now here I'm in every Bed Bath and Beyond in the country. That's kind of cool.
That's fantastic. So when it sounded like there was some trials and tribulations and struggles, now you have a company. I think you mentioned that you had 11 people in your company now.
Yeah.
11 people. Yeah. So you're still manufacturing on your own.
Yeah. I had 11 back then. I have over 600 employees now.
Wow. So you have 600 employees. Now, you have a factory is it your own factory? Do you outsource it?
It's my own factory. I don't make anything overseas. Everything's made in the United States here. I do all my own manufacturing, all my own call center, my customer service center. I really wanted everyone in my company to have the same passion I had for the product. And we give them all a pillow when they come to work or when they first come to work for us. And so they know they're out there helping people, and it's just a blessing to be able to bring a product out there that helps people. And we get, you know, hundreds of testimonials a week of how it's done all these things that it's helped besides sleep. And you kind of wonder sometimes, you're going, you know, this is, you know, are these even believable? But they are. I've heard so many of them of how, you know, people get, they don't snore anymore, and all these different testimonials. And,
wow.
All from a pillow, you know.
Well, I don't want to wake up in the morning anymore since you gave me one. No, it's very comfortable. What's interesting is, and you think about this with anything that you do in life, when you do something from the heart, or you're doing things to help people or do things to make things better, when that is first, then money always comes second. You know, and it seems like that's what you did. You really drove this, and you put your hard-earned money out. You mortgaged your house. You had your kids, doing illegal labor, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, we won't mention that, but you did all that because you wanted to get the word out, and you wanted everybody out there to feel the same way you did about your pillow.
Oh, absolutely. I still feel that way. That's why I'm never selling out, and I'm not making. I've had huge offers. I just feel it's, you know, everybody, I'm doing something great that I'm going to, you know, for the country and for the people. And I feel great about it. I feel blessed to be able to even bring the product to them. And it's not, I love the fact that I can keep over 600 people still employed. And we probably have another 2,000 indirectly that are employed here in the United States directly from the, you know, my submit or my, where I get my raw materials from. And we have 70 people out on the road selling them at shows yet, like I used to do for years. And we're even in the military bases in the country and right up to the Pentagon where we sell, you know, we're selling right there, just like, you know, your home shows and your state fairs. Anybody that's listening, I'm sure they've seen us at a fair or a home show or, you know, and it's, they're still out there selling them face to face with the people. And, you know, that's one thing I miss. You know, I do miss that because I got to hear feedback back from the people and listen to them and hear it and it's very gratifying hearing their great stories of how they, it's changed their life. It's a great miracle in their life.
Great. So you're at a point right now where, what are you doing on a daily basis? Are you managing the production? Are you out there talking to people? You said that you stopped going to the shows and you have people kind of doing that for you. So what are you doing? What are you doing during the day?
Well, I'm learning how to be a CEO. I didn't know what I was doing for the first year when I went from 10 employees to 400 employees in 1 month. It sent shockwaves through the company, through the county. I mean, it was just, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have my nets, my prices right. And for my products to people, because now I'm doing such mass quantity and I made a lot of mistakes in 2012 and this year. And then now my time is spent. I've learned a lot and, you know, I've got my company running very well right now. I've got some good people in place and dedicated. They were always dedicated, but now I got people doing the right things and the right, you know, we kind of had to learn as we go because we grew so fast. But I'm also making appearances daily on either QVC or I've been on IMUS. If anybody, Fox News, you know, I've been on IMUS. I've been on Geraldo. I do a lot of public appearances and I do a lot of, besides running the day-to-day, I'm stand right out. My office is right outside of our customer service center. So I'm hands-on. I still take really pride. And I think that's one of the most important parts of any business is the customer service. So you learn if there is something wrong. And I want the customer service like they used to have in the 1950s where we every customer counts.
That's very nice, Michael. So this was a very interesting journey you took us through. And I feel like this has been something special that you shared with us on our show tonight, and I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing all
Thank
that. You. So now, what's next? What are you doing? Is it going to be the next generation MyPillow? Is it another product? What are you doing next?
Well, you will see. We've got in the next couple weeks here, we're coming out with our a couple more infomercials and one of them is a new product. It is a new, it's a new topper that's going to go on your bed. It's going to revolutionize the sleep industry. Probably not as much as my pillow, but pretty close. When the pillow gave you your deep REM sleep, this new topper is going to give you Delta sleep. So it's going to be the most amazing sleep experience that people have ever had in their lives. And I'm really proud of those things that are coming out here in the next 2 weeks. And then the next, in November and December and beyond that, QVC has us. They've got us tied up a lot, and are tight. I'm going to be out there a lot, and then we've got huge orders for the brick and mortar from as seen on TV from Telebrands and this. I think it's going to be. It seems like each year, I'm doubling like a penny, like sorry, if you have 1 penny, 2 pennies, 4 pennies, 8 pennies, it just keeps getting bigger. And I want everybody to have. My goal is to have at least 1 out of 5 people in the United States within a few years have my fill-all, and I think I can get there.
Wow. All right. Those are some big goals, and doing what you're doing, hopefully you'll be on your way and achieving the next goal that you want to reach. Now, there's a lot of inventors out there that want to reach their goals, and again, they're at all different stages of the invention process, Michael. So we've heard it all from the start of just the idea to being the CEO of a company with 600 employees. So what kind of words of wisdom can you drop on the inventors listening, small business owners listening, entrepreneurs, whatever you want to call them, resources for inventors that also dabble a little bit with their own inventions or helping inventors out? Give us some words of wisdom on what you think can help bring us to the next level and reach our goals.
Well, I really think that from my own experience is instead of running in these mistakes yourself, is go out there and find someone that's been through it. If you're in a service business like the bar business, go see if you have a friend or somebody that knows someone in that business and you can ask him questions. So you don't make the same mistakes he made, or if it's an invention, to check with someone else, find someone else, locally, even if he's not a friend of yours, that has an invention, and ask him questions. Knowledge is, I think, so key to, of the mistakes being made, the mistakes made. I mean, we've kind of, went through, there's different things you have to do, make your prototype, get your provisional patent, and there's all these things, but it's the mistakes to avoid. And I think the only way that comes is to talk to people that have already been through it, because there's been so many inventions that not came to be because of different mistakes, and the people give up on them rather than keeping the passion. And one thing is you gotta have passion. You gotta believe in whatever product or service you're doing. If you don't, then you're gonna fail anyway.
That definitely comes across from you, the passion for sure. So, Michael, thank you so much. That was Michael Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. We can go to mypillow.com and we can order it there, or where we just find
you
it.
You can
at
order
a local
it at mypillow.com, otherwise we're in, like I say, we're in almost all brick and mortar stores, and you'll be seeing my infomercials come up. If they go to mypillow.com, and they can, they can even put in the code MyPillow, and they can get you can save 25%. So that's a great savings.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any expiration date on that? Because the show gets archived for many, many years. I still have people listening to
that. No, we're gonna. I just gave you the code they can use for. They can use that code, and if it doesn't give you the 25%, it'll give you some whatever special happens to be on there. That's kind of our generic code that we use on all our infomercials. So
thank you very much.
I don't plan on changing it.
Okay, we appreciate that. All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We want to hear your next venture success, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show one day so we can hear about the next steps. And I'd like to thank our sponsors, Inventors Digest Magazine. Thank you for all your support. You can go to inventorsdigest.com. United Inventors Association, UIAUSA.org. There's a great area there. If you want to find a local inventors club, go on to the Inventor Resources and find one and get active. We also have quickpatents.com. If you need a design patent, you can go to them. Getinventionhelp.com, ChinaToWest.com, Distribution Direct. If you need warehousing, go to DistributionDirect.com. Thank you, everybody, for your support. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great night. Keep on inventing, and stay tuned and keep an eye on the GotInvention.com website for upcoming shows. We have a great lineup. Have a great night, and keep going. Speak to you soon.